God loves to surprise. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And if you look, if you think through the characters, like I mentioned their names, but it's still helpful to stop and think sometimes through these characters of the Bible and notice how God, when he's guiding people in his will, he will surprise them. He will surprise them. And think of Abraham. One morning, he gets a word, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. Was that a surprise? I'll bet it was a surprise. But then there's another thing about God and God's will, and he loves to surprise, but also God is always doing more than you think he's doing. He's always up to way more than we ever give him credit for or ever have any idea of. And if you think even of Abraham, that was a surprise. He took Isaac. But think of the significance. Think of all of the things that were going on that Abraham had no idea of. Think of the sacrificial lamb, the substitutionary lamb that was going to die. Think of the beloved son that was supposed to be sacrificed. Think of the 3-day trip to a mountain, Mount Moriah. And think of the significance when John the Baptist later said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Could Abraham have possibly known everything going on in that story when he took his son to obey the Lord? God is always doing way more in our lives. When we went to Spain, when we came through Maranatha and many other churches doing a deputation and raising support, we had a goal, a very clear goal. One was to get to Spain, of course, and be missionaries in Spain, but we had the goal of starting a church on the coast, close to where my parents had started their church and where I had grown up. And that was our goal. That was our stated in the old slides. That's what we were showing, pictures of that in our plans. You know, we're 25 years later. We never planted a church there. That was our goal, but we didn't. Why? It was not God's will. It was God's will for us to go to Spain. Yes, it was God's will for us to be independent Baptist church planters. That is, and that continues. But we had specific things we thought were his will, and they weren't. Have any of you known what it is to have God completely change your plans? Is there anybody here that could say that? Okay, several of you. And many times they come as a complete surprise. One day you've got one thing in mind, and the next day your world is changed, and it was God who changed it. What about all the plans you made before? Well, it is not wrong to progress in the direction that we believe God wants us in, but sometimes we've got to be careful and say, I believe God wants me to do that. And don't be too dogmatic, or you'll have to eat some of your words later on. But God loves to surprise, and he is always doing more. Think of Joseph. Run with me in your mind. We won't go to the scriptures, but run with me in your mind through the life of Joseph. Joseph, go and find your brothers. Okay, yes, sir. Goes the pit. That was a surprise. Joseph lands in a pit. Okay, they didn't kill him. They sell him. And they sell him. They sell Joseph, and he lands in a mansion. That's a surprise. It's a bad situation I'm in, but this is the best it could be. Potiphar's mansion, where he becomes the steward of everything. But surprise, Potiphar has a wife, and she's a nasty woman. And he gets accused of going after her. It's surprise, he lands in jail. Well, that's a surprise. Since when does a slave accused of raping his master's wife get put in prison? Does that make sense to you and anything you know of history? It doesn't to me. It wouldn't have lasted a second. So he lands in jail or in prison. But what prison is it? How in the world did he land in the prison where Pharaoh's prisoners go? Surprise. Butler and the baker come in, and Joseph realizes, oh my, the interpretations God's given me, I've got a direct link to the Pharaoh. Whoa, this is great. God's going to get me out of here. So he says, Butler, please remember me. And Joseph is probably saying, wow, thank you, Lord. What a surprise. This is wonderful. And what happens? Surprise. The butler forgets him. 2 years go by, And one morning, Joseph wakes up and gets up and starts his business in a prison. I imagine rustic situation, and he lies down on a luxurious bed, probably maybe second only to Pharaoh. Surprise! Surprise! And God did all of that. And you go through Scripture, David is one day caring for the sheep. Where are your brothers? Oh, they're with Dad. They're having a banquet with the prophet. But I can't go because I've got my sheep to tend to. And then someone comes across the field, and one of the servants, I guess, says, "Hey, they want you over there too. Wow, this is great." He goes, and before the day is over, he's anointed king of Israel. Is that a surprise? Was he expecting that? And then, okay, I'm king of Israel. This is wonderful. But then he spends 2 years running from Saul for his life. Surprise. Daniel. You name the men, the people. Daniel lives close to Jerusalem, and one day he is taken away and probably never sees his family again, may not even have had opportunity to say goodbye to them, or may have seen them slaughtered. And he goes and he lands in Nebuchadnezzar's court. That's great. But then the tests, and one thing after, and it's surprise, ends up being statesman and prophet and a man of honor in two different empires. And wow, God loves to surprise. Do we want our will or do we want God's will? That's many times where the question really lies. I want God's will, but are you willing for God to surprise you? And when he does, how will you take it? Because he will. We just ran through a couple of the main characters in Scripture. You look at all of them. Think of Elijah. Oh my goodness. You just look at them and you'll see when God is leading a person, a man, a woman, his will is full of surprises. But it is for his glory, and he is glorified most when those men and women bow to those surprises or embrace them or however you want to say it, and they say, "Yes, Lord, we're going wherever you say. You can change my plans. That's fine. We'll do it." And so another verse of Scripture that comes to mind, and this isn't where we will spend a few minutes yet, but Isaiah 55, you know the verse. Verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Think. God's will. You think you know, but maybe you don't. Why? "Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." We went to start a church on the coast. And because of a tract distribution project that I began that took 3 years to cover the entire province, we ended up seeing one couple saved out of 250,000 tracts, 250,000 homes. Nobody responded. Nobody, almost none. Very, 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 very few. One out of 10,000 might come out with some kind of response for the tract. But one couple was saved in the interior. And we began discipling, began visiting, helping them grow, and then we realize, you know what? God doesn't want us here on the coast. I'm making all kinds of trips. We probably ought to be going to the interior where this couple is saved. And God led us to the interior. I wish I had time. I don't. I wish I had time to tell you the story of how God took us there. And he took us to a very specific town and a very specific neighborhood in a tiny little town. And then even to a very specific apartment. Way before we had any idea of what he was doing. I wish I had it, but there's no time. Believe me, God is doing way more than you ever think he is doing in your life. Believe that. It's true. It's true in Scripture, and God has not changed. It's true today. And we look back 25 years ago, and we think, we had no idea what was going on. We were just living day by day, trying to do God's will. Lord, what do you want us to do? And active in it, but you know all of my plans, all of them, pretty much, went by the wayside. I'm not where I was. Where I thought I would be. I mean, God's will was very different than what I thought it was going to be. And verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And everyone I talk with, that's in the ministry or has known the Lord for years, every person I ever mention this to and talk with about, everyone will say, yep, God did that to me too. I have rarely, I can't think of anybody, who is doing exactly what they thought they were going to be doing for the Lord, what they thought they were going to be doing 20 or 30 years ago. They just, no. And it came as a surprise as God interrupted their plans and said, that way, or that way, or that way. And they obeyed. And then God gets the glory because you begin to see, wow, he really knows what he's doing and he knows how to do it. The story, the Ayerdi miracle story, is just a fraction of the stories that we have of what God has done. But if you have a chance to read it any way you can, you'll see how God is doing, and God is working way before you even think he's paying any attention. And so, finding God's will and doing it. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Go to the first Psalm, and let me just share a couple of ideas with you there. Psalm 1, and I want to read a verse that probably 95% of us know by heart, and we have memorized it back in Sunday school days. Who knows? It's a very, very common. Psalm 1 is very common. If there's one, you know, chapter, Psalm in the Bible memorized, it's this one. And so you're going to know the words, but I want you to listen to verse 3 in terms of the will of God, okay? It says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Okay, first of all, we're like a tree. Have you ever been compared to a tree before? What tree would you like to be compared to? Well, that's irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do with this. But he says, this person is like a tree. Now look at the characteristics of this tree. First, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's exactly where a tree should be planted. It's the best place. It is a good place for the tree. The tree is where he's supposed to be. Okay? Then, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Notice, the tree does not bring forth fruit all the time. Does that make sense? We sort of want and expect people to bring fruit all the time. This tree brings fruit in his season. However, what is the next phrase? His leaf also shall not wither. What does that mean? The tree is always healthy, but it doesn't always bring forth the fruit. There are seasons of fruit and seasons of not fruit. Is that true in your life, in my life, in the church, in whatever? It probably is. It is a healthy tree because his leaf never withers, but he brings forth fruit when he's supposed to. When God ordains for the fruit to come, there are times and seasons of fruit, and there are other times when there isn't as much fruit. And it doesn't matter how much work, how much, you know, activity you put out, there isn't going to be fruit at that time. God, it is God's will. It is God's way of working. It is his ministry. It is his tree. And so it says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does that mean? This tree, or this person, or this man or woman, this believer, everything he does when he's there is, or you could say, has eternal significance. Everything he does, whether it's building a cabinet, preaching a message, homeschooling the children, working in a factory, that person is planted by the rivers of water. He produces fruit. His leaf does not wither. And everything he does, his life is for God's glory. And everything he does just brings glory to God. What is that verse describing? Or who? It's describing the person who is in God's will. Describing the person who is in God's will. Let me read it again and think of it in the context of God's will. Do you want to know God's will? And I'm not suggesting you don't. I'm just saying this is what the scripture is saying. Do you want to find and do God's will? This is what it will look like when a person is living in the Lord's will for his life. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's in the right place. That brings forth his fruit in his season. He's fruitful. He's fruitful at the right time. And his leaf also shall not wither. He's always healthy. He's there. Do you know people like that? Do you know believers that are always healthy? I hope so. I'm sure you do. But that's what we ought to be. And then, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It is someone who God blesses. He just blesses his life. And this is the description of someone who is doing God's will. Now, how did he get there? Remember, the theme was finding and doing God's will. How did this person find God's will? How did he get to be in the place of God's will? Whether it's in Spain or it's in Shelby or wherever it is, how did he get there? He got there through verse 1 and through verse 2. Notice verse 1, again, verses that we know. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does this verse say? One way you could explain it is this. In order to be in God's will, you must learn to say no. Do you notice how it's couched? It's in the negative. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand. He doesn't sit. This is a no. And nowadays in our modern culture, everything's supposed to be positive. No negatives. Please leave. Those are for some other century. Everything's positive now. Don't give me any negatives. And yet we find in the Bible, the book of Psalms starts with negatives. It starts with a big negative. This man, three things he doesn't do. Doesn't walk, doesn't stand, doesn't sit. He says, no, no, no. Think of the Ten Commandments. Are they positive? Well, they're positive, but they're not stated positively, are they? Why? Why is it? Why? Think. Let's think. Why is it that they're in the negative? There's logic to it. Because by nature, we are not doing the right thing. We do not want the right thing. We do not go in the right direction. And so the very first thing has to be, stop. You're not going in the right direction. Don't. Stop. No. And that's the first thing that has to be addressed. And what is it we're supposed to say no to? If we are going to be in God's will, we are going to have to learn to say no to those things that are against our God and against our Christian beliefs and against our values and against our convictions. There are things that we will have to say no to, and we know what they are. We don't have to go to seminars to see, what is it that I can't? No, we know what they are because God makes sure we know exactly what it is that hinders our growth and hinders our walk with Christ. And until we are willing to say, no, I will not do that. I will not go there. There are no's that I establish in my life. We're not going to get any further. That's just the way it is, because our natural tendency is not to do God's will, but it's to do my will. My will is what comes first, automatically, from the kid on. Learning to say no. Several months ago, my daughter, who has our one and only beautiful grandbaby, our granddaughter Chloe. Okay, I was preaching a message there in Spain to our congregation on the family. We were preaching a series on the family, and one Sunday it was in my plans, in my notes to say or to explain how that one of the first things you got to teach children, babies, is the meaning of the word no. There in Spain, I don't know how it is here, but in Spain you go to the parks where it's very common in the afternoon and evening, everybody goes out to the parks, anybody with children anyway, and you think, my goodness, these kids don't know what no means. They don't pay any attention to their parents. In fact, they do the opposite. If they say no, it's basically run and do it harder, farther away. And they don't know. And so my daughter sent me this video of our granddaughter. And Chloe, her name is Chloe, she was on the carpet, and in front of her, about 2 feet away, there was a remote, you know, for a TV remote on the floor. And so she was crawling towards that remote, and I don't know, it was the Lord's timing, because she sent it just days before I preached. And so I showed this video to our church because it perfectly dovetailed with my message. But Rachel was videoing it, and as she got closer to the remote, she stuck out her hand and was going to grab it. And Rachel, our daughter, Rachel said, no. And instantly her hand froze, you know, about halfway to the remote. And then she looked up, and then she looked back down. And she kept on going, and Rachel said, no. And so she stopped, and she pulled her hand back and went back about half of a crawl, whatever that is, and looked at her with a sort of a sad look on her face. But she did not want to touch that remote. And so I played it for our church, because she was only 6 months or so. I said, you can teach them what the word no means. Now, I don't know if she always does that, but she definitely did it for the video. And it served me a great purpose there. But that's one of the first things anybody needs to learn, is no. And as a Christian, as we walk with the Lord, God is going to teach us all kinds of things to which we have to say no. New Testament is full of it. It's full of them. And so verse 1 is, we have to learn to say no. But then look at verse 2. Because it's not all no. It's not all no. There's much more than no. In the Christian walk, and to get to verse 3, you have to go through verse 2. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now let's stop for a minute and let's think about what that verse is saying. His delight. What's your favorite ice cream? Do you know it? Somebody not like ice cream? Everybody has a favorite ice cream, right? How do you eat it?
Fast.
Some say fast, some say slow. Fast in case you don't get a chance to finish it. I don't know. But there's a special relish for that favorite ice cream. My wife and I stopped on our way over here because some friends of ours from our church in Atlanta had said, hey, if you want a good milkshake, is it Cookout? Cookout has milkshakes, and they have some. He told us a couple of flavors, and so Mimi and I had not had a chance to go to one of those, and we saw one, so we both got our favorite kind of, in this case, milkshake. And it's, you know, it's a what now? David said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now think about that for a minute. Think it through. David did not have the 66 books, full, complete Bible that we have. He had the Pentateuch. He had maybe a few historical books. Might have had Job. And among them he had Numbers and Leviticus. And he said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And if you read, you know some of the verses in Psalm 19 and Psalm 37:40, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and how the Lord gives the desires of his heart. In Psalm 119, he says, notice in Psalm 19, just to go to one of them, Psalm 119 is, of course, loaded with them. But Psalm 119, verse 9, says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What does that tell us about David's love for the Word of God? Do you delight in reading God's Word? I'm not asking, do you read God's Word? Maybe all of you read God's Word. I'm asking, do you delight in reading God's Word? That's very different sometimes. At our church, I'm always encouraging our believers to read God's Word. They've heard it from me dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I'm very passionate about them getting into the Word and reading. And so many of them use different, various Bible reading programs, you know, one a year, or both, you know, reading from the new and the old, or there's various different programs. You probably know about them. And when I talk with them and I realize that they're reading from the Bible programs, I'm glad they're reading with the Bible program. That's fine. But I always want to say, you know what though? It's one thing to read because you want to make your goal of reading it in a year or whatever. It's another thing to read because you love the Word of God. It's very different. I would say if they're reading with a program and they're checking it off and I got to catch up because I'm... That's fine. Better than nothing. But when you get to the place where you read because you love it, because it feeds your soul and you know it. You can read the book of Leviticus. You can read Ezekiel. You can read some of the, you know, Zechariah. And you can, even though you don't understand it all, because some of it is complex, some of it is prophecy that's very difficult to understand, some of it is monotonous, some of it is just a bunch of names and you don't even really know any of them. But when you can read those and know that even those God uses to strengthen our faith, because this is the menu for our soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. And here in Psalm 1, this person has learned to say no, but he's also learned to say yes. And the yes is to God's Word. He loves it. He loves to read the Word. Have you read the Bible through one, from one cover to the other? Good. How about two times? Great. How about five? Have you read it 10? Why stop with 10? Read it 20 times. Read it till the day you die. Read the Bible over and over and over again and come to love the God of the Bible as He speaks to you through His Word. I don't even know what I think when I hear of people talking about the Word of God. Oh, it's a book of fables. It's a bunch of legends. It's a bunch of oral traditions copied over. I think, oh my goodness, how can you possibly think that? How blind can you be? But it's true. That's what they think. And yet every day, I love to read the Word. And the more I read it, the more I love it. I can't get enough of it. And I say no to things in the schedule. Why? So I can spend time in the Word of God. Why? Because it fills and nourishes my soul and strengthens my faith and tells me about the Lord. And it's wonderful. The psalmist said, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. When you wake up and you can't sleep, and you can't sleep, and you can't sleep, if you're like me, you get upset. You say, I'm going to get up and do something. And I'll get the Bible out and start reading. After a while, you'll get sleepy. But, and I'm not making fun of those who don't sleep very well. My wife is one of us too who doesn't sleep. She's always struggling with sleeping. But I know what it is sometimes to wake up in the middle of the night. I don't know why, and I'm wide awake, and I'm thinking, okay. And finally, I just get up. And but he delighted in God's Word day and night. And the person who learns to say no to the world and to the influences of the world and the pushes of the world and the sin, says no to his flesh, the person who learns to say no to those things and yes to God's Word, God will make His will known to that person. And many times He will surprise from one side, He'll surprise from another. You may have plans of what you think you're going to do in 10 years or 5 years or 20 years. Most likely He'll change them entirely. But along the way, He'll let you know, and you just focus on what He says to focus on. Don't worry, please, don't worry about next year. Don't worry about 5 years from now. Don't worry about 10 years from now. Why? You have no idea what God's going to do. And you may have all kinds of plans. And He can change them in a moment. An accident can change them. A phone call can change them. I mean, you know that as much as I do. We don't know. So let's deal right now with what we know we should do, and that is to delight in God's Word and let Him take care of the rest. There was on few months ago, and I'll close with this. A few months ago, on Facebook, I saw a double caption, two pictures, and there was in the first one, there was a man looking up at the sky. It was a cloudy sky, nothing up there except clouds, and he was shouting up at the clouds, and he was saying, "God, I want to hear from you," something like that, or "God, will you speak to me?" I can't remember exactly the exact terminology, but it was that idea. "Would you please speak to me?" And then the next caption was the same picture, clouds, but out of the clouds was a hand. And in the hand was a Bible. I thought it was great. That was fantastic. Because that's the truth. God speaks to us through His Word. Through His Word. And so, God loves to surprise. And if you want to do His will, He will surprise you, because that's what I see all over the pages of Scripture, and it's what I've seen all over in my life, and everybody I talk with who loves God and has followed God, that's what they say. So I don't think you'll be the exception. God will surprise, and then He is always doing much more than you think He's doing. Give Him credit. Let Him do it. And when the surprises come, we must learn to say, "Lord, thank You for dealing in my life. Thank You for the surprise. Help me." If it's a pleasant surprise, sometimes they're unpleasant. Most of the surprises in my life, I have to say, God has been very good to me, very kind to me. I have a list of surprises that I have in Jeremiah 33:3. And it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of surprises. I got a surprise today out of the blue. Just absolutely, I just wasn't expecting. It was a great surprise. And God does it all the time. Sometimes they are unpleasant. My hand is, see how swollen it is? That was an unpleasant surprise yesterday. But God is very much involved in our lives. And if we will see how He works and understand how He works in the Scriptures, it'll make a difference in how we live and how we go about life. So, I don't know. Take whatever you can from what I said. And I trust the Lord will use something to help you in that matter. If you're firm and solid and understand these truths, great. Keep on going. But maybe something of this hasn't crossed your mind before. Maybe you didn't see it that way. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe He can help you have a better perspective or a better attitude. Because I think, we change, but God does not. And our God is exactly the same. He is exactly the same God as the God who dealt with Abraham. He has not changed. And He does many, 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 many things the same way. And one of them is He surprises in His will, and He's always doing much more than we think He is doing. And so in Spain, that's been the case. Oh my goodness. What He has done there that was never on our radar. But you look at it and you say, wow, nobody could have thunk that one up. Absolutely, that was God. Nobody could orchestrate people, events, circumstances, everything to do that. That's impossible. Only God can do that. And that's what you'll see if you let God take care of your schedule and your agenda and guide you. And you be focused on the two things that are most important for us, and that is saying no to what we need to say no to, and yes to what we need to say yes to. And God will make sure we're on the right path and we're going in the right direction if we serve Him faithfully and honestly. Thank you, Pastor.